Welcome, everyone, to the Super Bowl special. We are going to be doing something absolutely incredible today. I am joined by Debbie and Natalie. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hey, Debbie, how are you?
I'm doing really good, thank you. I'm really excited about today.
Oh, me too. We are going to have a super, super show. Today we are going to be talking about remote viewing, remote sentience, clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience. And these are all abilities to read information in streams. Clairvoyance is seeing. Clairaudience is an understanding through different dimensions. Clairsentience is empathy. Okay, all of these individual skills add up into an ability to intuit energy, intuit patterns, intuit a way that an equation equals something of resolution within you. And we have this. On this Super Bowl Sunday, one of our special things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be giving you a chance. So if you are in the Galactic Historian /live page, if you scroll down underneath the player there, you'll see a section for comments for remote viewers. You'll see for an envelope one and envelope two, third option will be the final score of the Super Bowl. So you have 10 words, just 10 words to describe what is an envelope one or an envelope two. We have made this a bit of difficult, but at the same time not. The picture or the image or whatever it is or it isn't it in those 10 words of your description. So Natalie and Debbie, you guys have both done remote viewing on your own. What were your first experiences with it or how you got to your confidence with it?
Well, I mean, first for me, it was first really important to understand exactly what remote view was. I've always felt a lot of things, but to actually then focus the specifics on what exactly remote view means. And when I found out that I could actually take my focus and then remote view something in the future or remote view something in another country or remote view something that was, for example, inside of an envelope, I started to realize that I could take that energy and then just really ask myself, okay, what is it? And then parts of my light bodies would actually go and have a look at it like I would normally when I was looking at what was wrong with a horse. I was then able to take that part and then focus it specifically on that subject, which would sometimes be a card like this. And I've noticed that when I did it, my first impressions were always really right on. But for me, I had to give myself a couple of seconds to let the image come. A lot of the times I got the image, but I didn't really spend enough seconds or nanoseconds letting the image come fully through because I was so excited that I had got something. So for me, I think that was the biggest thing, was to go with the first thing that I experienced on what I could see, but then allow that to develop just a little bit before my mind started giving me other things to second guess at. I mean, that was my experience in a nutshell. How was it for you, Debbie?
It's very similar, Natalie. It was all about learning to trust my first impressions, because I found that once I started questioning what I was seeing or thinking, oh, I need to give it another try, I was always found out it was my first impression that was right. So it's learning to trust what you allow yourself to, experience.
Yeah, that precipice of trust is a big chasm for some people. When you get into the deeper knowingness that you can discover what's in that envelope. So part of the rules, 10 minutes before the show opened is where we allowed comments to come through, though there were some people that were putting their comments in early. And we have an audience that's not able to be here live, so there are going to be one people that wanted to be a part of it. So we are going to reveal the preliminary results on this coming Tuesday's show at 5 p.m. Pacific. So for all those people that weren't here live, you also will be able to be a part of the reveal, so we won't reveal right away what are in those envelopes. We encourage people, you can only vote once, all right, only once, but you are allowed to add all three envelopes. And we decided to do it this way because you have many choices. One is the most obvious, it's the Super Bowl. There are millions and millions of people. I think it was 150 million people are going to be watching
Super
Bowl.
Amazing numbers.
Billions of dollars in advertising. you got to know that the halftime report is going to be some type of Illuminati reflection or ritual. It's been every Super Bowl since then has had that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be just watching the halftime, as you said
right.
before. I said, how many people do you think are going to be watching? He's like, I know a lot of people that are awakened
yeah.
will just watch the halftime to see what, you know, to see what they come up with.
Exactly.
Maybe.
What are they going
to
do this time? So, Debbie, have you had any other experiences with remote viewing? Who's going to on the phone before it rings?
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah, I sort of started off just doing, you know, when the phone rings, try and remote view who's at the other end of it. And then I actually did partner up with a friend of mine where we did it because I really wanted to hone in on the skills. And so my friend, she lived in another town, and so she would draw a picture or a symbol, and I would draw one, and then would sit in a remote view, or would get back the next day and say, well, this is what I picked up, or this is what I remote viewed. And so we could critique each other and boost up our skills. And that was a quicker way to do it for us, because we did basically symbols and pictures, something simple.
Yeah. And when you learn to practice skills in a way that shows you your driven results, you get results. And one of the earliest expressions of remote viewing was called clairvoyance. It was started in France, and it spawned many other psychic expressions such as clairsentience and clairaudience. Okay, then there is remote sensing and remote experiencing. Those are each different mechanical ways of observing whether you're entangled or not. And some mechanics in like remote sensing, where you are using some of your senses in some place and dimension or time stream, but you are untangled with it, meaning there can be no exchange. There are other scenarios where you are remote viewing by using your third eye to create photonic light to go into a place. This is classic military remote viewing, where you create a photonic field that goes into an area, and then through that light expression can send images back. So you're not physically there. There's just a photonic expression of you there. Clairvoyance takes that ability to send somewhere and may go to 6 or 7 places in the same perspective, so they get a unified expression of what's going on in there, that area, almost like a 360-degree sight of the subject you are observing in time-space. Clairsentience is where we take that clairvoyance skill and we tune it to empathic energy,
mm-hmm.
where you just are using your natural empathy and the feelings drive the experience. And when the experience is driven by emotions, the clairvoyant or clairaudience can become easily entangled in those energies. Children are naturally the clairaudient, clairvoyant, as well as clairsentient. They pick up on the energy of you as soon as they come into your room. Debbie, what are some of the experiences you had with your children having psychic experiences?
I remember you, you're so good at creating wonderful places with your past and future life regressions that you're also able to create portals so that when you're resting your children and you help them go into their dream time, you can help them resolve and experience things at the same time. And I remember one story maybe you'd be willing to share, as Andrew asked, with your granddaughter. I think that would be a really fun one for the audience to hear.
Well, the one experience that you and I were discussing the other day, Natalie, was when my granddaughter came over, and she seemed to be really there's a lot of anxiety running in her and fear. And I asked her to come and lay down and relax and just share with me what was going on. And she got caught up in a lot of the stuff in a particular mystery school, putting out a lot of fear about, this is in 2010, a lot of fear about changes, earth changes. And so she was really scared about what was coming down the pipeline in the future for her. And her passion is dance, and she was really wanting to pursue a career more in the dance and the acting field, and so she was thinking that she didn't have much of a future to look forward to. And so I just decided, and I asked her if she was willing for me to take her through a relaxation process where that she could actually experience experience something in the future for herself, because I think it's really important to give children and people hope, and that sometimes these some religions and the internet, what's going around and everything, the fear was, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, so I took her through a process where I took her into a magical garden, actually, where she could totally relax and let her fear wash away. And all of a sudden, she started to have this experience where she stepped into the future, probably about 20 years into the future, and she saw herself as a dancer, but she said the dancing was so totally different. And she was so much pleased with herself, and she loved what she was doing. And she said that, so I asked her to describe to me what was going on around the earth at that time, or in that time period she was at, how the people were they happy, were they frightened? And she said, no, everybody was in their heart space. She said everybody was happy. She experienced talking to one of the girls in her dance team that had mentioned that her grandmother had gone through the changes, and everything was fine for her a lot. And it gave her hope. It gave her a hope of the future, that she had a future, and took away all the fear and anxiety that comes with that.
Once you get sort of connected, all of these other sales, clairvoyance, clairsentience, audience, remote viewing, sending, experience, and things, because what you described right there, she was doing all of those at once. And anyone that goes to have a regression is doing the same thing. You are clearing the field of the things that your mind is constantly putting up to stay. You have to matrix. We don't need to be making it at all times. We were never meant ready. It is against our natural order to be in this matrix, because we sleep and there's a dream world that's on the other side. And as we awaken, we take from our dream and we make it real. And as we awaken into the matrix world, we make it in the matrix. And as we go to sleep, we take from the matrix and take into our sleep and create and so forth until it's over and over again. All of these skills are within everyone's choice at this moment in time. And what we're going to be doing is pointing to number one, I'm going to hold this forward, everyone. First chance. For those that are live, you have until 10 minutes after the show. For those that are not listening live, we will begin to reveal preliminary results on Tuesday at 5:30 to 5:00 Pacific. And that's where we reveal the images. So everyone around the world will have a chance to go ahead and do this experiment. For those that are here live, the first group of people that accurately get the remote going in 10 words will be a part of a future live show where they get to drive the comment as if they were interviewing. We look forward to a lot of people getting some accuracy on these. I did make them easy, yet I also made it hard by you having to do words only and making the description. That means you've reached a level of confidence in yourself. So I'm going to hold this here for just a minute. Focus on it. And I'm going to put one back into the flower. In just a little bit, we are going to do number two. Cooperating.
there's also one thing when people are starting to extract. It's so easy. And when you get part of it right, or just a little bit, or you have that flashback, and you're like, wow, I knew it was going to be that one. Why did I pick this? That's all part of the experience. And as you go through each step, and you get those little successes, even if it was a glimpse of something, that's showing you that you're on the right track. And these are things that you can do in the most simplest of forms. And go easy, go slow. Don't expect yourself to like instantly get things like when you see that on the movies. It doesn't work like that. And with the knowingness, as you get the successes within yourself, something happens, because it becomes more of a knowingness that you get it right and you can do this. All of a sudden, you'll feel expanding even more, that you're practicing it. It's kind of like a muscle you'll exercise, as we explained before. It's the same concept. So always give yourself a lot of love. love when you're doing these things, because you're actually doing it. You're actually going out there and experimenting with all the abilities that is your birthright.
Your DNA, your birthright, your gift from God. Be the God of your life self here in the now, who hasn't given away their power, but sees their source of self also. Connected to the universe, connected to infinity. We do this at any moment in time. It is that precipice of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, it's a big chasm. When I was young, I was faced with that precipice of trust around what was going on in my mind. Was it true or was it false? And the people in my matrix were going, none of that. Well, how would you know any of that? And me asking myself any of that. I'm 6, I'm 8, I'm 9 years old. So how do I know what any of that means?
Mm-hmm.
And I would look up the words that I was saying in the dictionary. I did my due diligence matrix study. I did my due diligence. How is it that I even know that is incoherent, incorrect, in an equation that does not absolve any of modern history?
But somehow you never got that from your past, because knowing that was so in your soul that despite your surroundings, you just kept on going.
I knew.
And when you just know, nothing can stop you. They say when there's a will, there's a way, or when that heart is switched on and you just know something without a doubt, nothing was just apart, the seeds were apart, and you just kept going. And it was incredible how the story just told me about, you know, how even your family sometimes, when you come up with information, then it would just try to keep quiet.
They couldn't process any of that information.
Too much for them.
Too much for them.
Yeah.
In the 1970s at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it was really different then. Really, really different then. You know, we live in 2015. We have more freedoms and more unfreedoms now than ever before.
That's so true.
You're either sovereign or insovereign. And that's just the raw facts of the way it is now. You look at the people that are unawake out there, that are enjoying their Super Bowl for the sports competition, in their blissfully ignorant, pure state of enjoyment, entangled in this matrix that is featuring Illuminati concepts with powerful acting and advertising organizations broadcasting to 200 million people. I see mass media domination and control, but I also see someone like me and tens of thousands of other people who are also doing a show on the Super Bowl Sunday. And bravo to them, because they are making light of something. We would like people to now make light of what the score means. What if we got a group of people that were accurately trained in discovering live scores? Let's say we had 5,000 people that could predict the score of a basketball game 6 months ahead of time.
And what is fun when you're in direct remote view what that score is? There are two tricks that I use myself that people might find useful. One of them is actually seeing the newspaper the next day. Just actually seeing what the thing on the newspaper will be the next day. Some people go to that moment where the clock strikes the end, where they see that final flash on the board. So those are two targets where you can see the score. And these little things kind of help when you're trying to find, you know, how will I find out where do I remote view to see the score? That sometimes can be a good target for you to focus on to say, okay, show me this, so that you have a focus inline target of where to put your frequency, your energy.
Your local newspaper that delivers, you know, the sports section is a good thing. Can you get it off of a digital media source? Yes, you can. But you're going to want to understand that it's going to be a digital object that you're going to be viewing that has a screen that has information instead of something on the raw surface that you're going to have.
Exactly.
For others, it may be more difficult. So a thing that you can do is when you are trying to figure out the scores in the game or figuring out what's going to be going on in a TV show. You can remote view the end of a TV show, too.
Yeah, but that gets really annoying because most of the time you can figure out what it's going to be like anyway. So sometimes you don't know if you're actually doing it or if you just figured it out because it was just so obvious.
If it's a TV show that you've never watched, let's say some reality TV show that's going to end in mid-2015, and just kind of ahead of time, we all put our predictions down that the end of the show will be like that.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I was thinking
we are looking to challenge. We want to challenge the Matrix.
Yeah.
Take months ahead of time and put this out there for everyone to see. Not only can you develop the skills, that you can get really, really good at it. And when a smart group like we have here, the League of Consciousness Explorers, comes together, we can do some really special things. So, Natalie, did you have any questions that you wanted to ask me specifically about remote viewing, or sentience, audience?
I've got something that I'm picking up that the audience might want to hear. How would you describe what possibilities you're investing when you're reading the Akashic Record? Is it clear audience? I mean, is it a mixture of everything? Is it just one thing? How would you describe your phenomena, your golden key to this world? How would you describe how it is?
When I'm reading a person, I'm a clear audience, and I'm in a sacred neutral position. My clear audience skill comes out of my heart. My third eye goes into my heart and becomes glowing. I can receive empathetic reactions of whatever my throat chakra is interacting with. The Akashic Record is creating a frequency. And I can observe how that being is going through empathic changes. And then the clear audience part of me is peeking to their other soul chakras that are listening to this conversation in clarity in a different perspective than that person there. And this voice is constantly interacting through clear audience on other dimensions, time changes, galaxies, and universes with other soul chakras and being listened to from there. So it is a mixture of skills in the reading scenario. Let's say if I'm just being asked questions after questions, let's say in like one of the Galactic History series, that the questioner creates a total potential karmic resolution. And I, as the person that represents the karmic retribution of answering the decision in a moment of untruth, can create a paradox, which means that I can give a limitless amount of information based off of who I perceive through the clairvoyance into the future or into the past, how my words might affect, and therefore I would go into individual changes and clear individual clairaudient experiences with each individual being that would be listening to that message.
So basically you're taking all the different streams of all the different charts for that individual, and then you're understanding what it is that you need to answer the question, but then at the same time looking at those equations and seeing the effect for that being or the specific
time
audience.
A person that's ever going to listen to that show.
So that means so that no paradox is created, so that you're absolutely free of clarity in all ways.
Correct.
So it's based on an amalgamation of everything into its perfection.
But to do that, I had to be in a sacred neutral witness to the Akashic Record to see something that gauges all of these skills that represent equations, and there's a pattern that overlays.
Mm-hmm.
What is the truth of Earth? What is my perception that's going in and trying to translate it into English? Some things can only be translated in polarity.
Mm-hmm.
But how you balance the next set of words out balances out your ultimate meshed frequency of unity.
So basically, it's an equation with the words and weighing out what the social consciousness takes on in this matrix with the meaning of that word and how it will affect the frequency, because that's the equation. And then in effect, you'll be able to ascertain if these are the words that can be spoken as the truth in that moment.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's for some people, that's advanced stuff for them to understand. Before I go and do a show, I experience the show ahead of time.
I know, I've seen you do it, and it's quite incredible to watch him just start to look and go into the focus. He's here, but he's also in so many other places, but he's still having conversations with you, but you can sense that he's in all these other places at the same time, and it's quite a phenomenon to watch. And, like, we've seen him do that when he's healing on the show, when he's reading all the streams of the different things and then understanding what he can do. We've seen you run some of those streams as well. It's been quite the honor.
Since I decided to do video and show a lot of the hand movements, a lot of people have had experiences where they see colors on my hands or they see frequencies around me as I begin to do things, and suddenly I'll grab hold of something and pull it out, and you can just feel a massive release in people Why? Because this visual cortex is interacting with a whole different set of layers. But I'm still here looking at you and at the camera, we're interacting with you as this being.
Mm-hmm.
All of my multidimensional parts themselves are working in coherent union with this I am presence. Because I declare my apex, I've accepted it, and I continue not to give up away power that would take me out of the apex point of coherent unity.
And that's so vital. I remember I was discussing with a friend of ours the other day about staying in absolutely sacred neutral, not allowing yourself to go one way or the other, or putting yourself into polarity at these moments as we're endeavoring to find ourselves and really take on the forcefulness and malleability to finally find this reality that we can start to really make manifest now. It was a really interesting conversation because when it comes to personal, deeply personal things, relationships, trust, and as people go through their own changes, one has to in themselves remain sacred neutral, even though they felt hurt by that other being and their actions or non-actions. It's something that came so much into focus right in the beginning of this year. I mean, that's the first thing you said about the soul of the audience is staying in sacred neutral. Mm-hmm. And this is great because when we work with things like remote view, it is key to be at that moment, you're just there as the observer, and being able to practice these sorts of skill sets affords your soul at that moment to actually be just for that moment that you're practicing that skill in that sacred neutral, in that moment of now, in that being as a whole. And that gives yourself a respite just for that moment on the matrix. And some people, when they practice this skill, they find it, they've practiced it for many, many, many hours. When they look at themselves in the mirror afterwards, they find that their skin is looking younger. For some reason, the aging process changed. Have you noticed that as well? That's one of the great benefits of doing this kind of work that I also wanted to mention at one time point.
Once you learn the nature of connected sovereignty, you connect to a whole new different part of the life force.
Yeah.
That just is continuously feeding you, even though you may still have feeding tubes giving things to other parts of this reality. It's still nurturing that inside co-creative you who's a child, still innocent and still ready to create the world.
Yeah.
It's in everyone. And yes, attitude is everything. And at any moment, no matter how angry you are, you can flip into that.
Change it in a moment.
You can change it in a moment. It may not be pleasant, but you can change it and make a very special moment out of that. And I've been challenged with that in my life over and over and over again. Like I've told you, at times people expected me to be the trick dog everywhere
yeah.
I went.
Yeah.
And to the moment you go, no, I don't need to do any of that.
Yeah, I'm not the reason right. for your party. I'm just here as a guest
right.
sort of thing.
You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many emails a day that I get. You emails, Facebook, all of them. People are asking me for 5 minutes of my time. If I did that, I wouldn't ever do shows because there's 300-400 waiting all over. That's why I do these shows. It's reached a point where this frequency I'm sharing, these skill sets that I'm sharing, I want to impart to you. And Debbie said something earlier, maybe by osmosis, I can learn the skill. And for some people, they do learn it through osmosis. I do see the chat. I do go to the link of consciousness, of course, and I see people immersing themselves in how he does it. And they don't even care about the information, how he does it, because it comes out so much in a flow, and that's what they ultimately desire. And it's their own part work which will pull them to the direction of the truth of information. But the mechanical part of what I do is what they're connecting to.
And what's the
moment?
Sure, go ahead, Debbie.
Talking about, and Natalie was talking about that as well, before a show, that you look into the future and see already what show is going to be. Do you tune into all the people? Can you pick up all the frequencies of all of those people who are going to be tuning into your show and present the show along those lines?
Let's put it this way. Let's say I have a 5 o'clock show, and at 3:15, I finish doing whatever my day is doing, and I know I have an open time where I'm going to do nothing else other than get ready for a show. I do what's called a peek. I just let my third eye open up, and I just get a quick synopsis. It's like It's like when you're watching your favorite TV show and you've been watching it for years and they give you what happened the last couple episodes. So I come in somewhere during the live show and I get a quick synopsis. That's the first peak. The second peak is where I sit down and I'm ready to experience what the total potential of the audience is. But I let that synopsis be a synopsis of each individual person who's coming for a mechanical, spiritual denial, whatever reason there, it adds up to a total amount of karma in the system because I'm still functioning in the system. And I take that value of karmic retribution, whatever it is, and I raise the level of what my information is to zero out everything through the sacred mutual expression. During that time, each individual will be going through healings or impressions, ups and downs, which then ups and lowers that cap of what my total potential is. And then there comes a point where those that are dropping out take the energy lower, and there are those that are jumping above my label potential, where I can bring it up and up and up, and through individual words, soliloquies, I can hammer out to just individuals deep impressions of something they need to understand and only come through the cadence and rhythm of the word, not necessarily the meaning. So that's the second synopsis. And then just before I go into a show, it's like dumping into the deep end of a cold pool.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have my little ritual that I do. Yeah.
But I mean, how many times have you? I've been looking at the chat. How many times have I been seeing those questions? Mm-hmm. And you've already started answering them before they were even. I mean, that was so great because you've already tuned in. So you're taking that with the streams of how you can best serve the audience at that time. It's wonderful to watch. And a lot of the time, if you're not on the chat, there's so many synchronicities where things are being talked about or questions asked, and Andrew will just, out of the blue, he'll just answer it, or things that people have been really contemplating for a long time, and he'll happen to talk about it, and they'll just be able to get their answers. And it's just so great when you get those emails when they share that experience, and mm-hmm. it's worth all the preparation that you do, for sure.
And for those out there that are new to the audience, this is tobacco. And one of the reasons I use tobacco, especially during shows like this where you guys are remote viewing, is we are keeping this area clear and clean. So I'm not trying to bring up a debate or an argument. Each person uses their plant medicine for their own purpose. Do not be in judgment. Do not be in justice. Just understand that each person's belief system is what takes them forward into the truth of what their words are. I don't recommend anyone to do anything unless your heart tells you to do it. So, Debbie, did you have any more questions that you wanted to ask?
I think that was what I was, really pressing for me to understand. When Natalie had brought that up, that was something that just jumped out, and I really admire the way that you can just flow. Like Natalie said, if people were putting questions on there, and so I just wanted to have more of an understanding of what that was.
When you first heard me as an audio, what grabbed you?
The amazing thing was the way you present your information. It just flows, and it's so authentic, and there's just so much truth that's behind it. And the first time I listened to you, I honestly couldn't wrap my head around a lot of the information, because I was listening to the galactic history, and it was pretty, for me at the time, I thought it was pretty out there. But after I listened to it quite a few times, I could really start to understand it, and it started to make sense to me. But what really, you're just so in your heart space.
It was a puzzle of a show. And that's the nature of the person that was asking the questions. And yes, I tried to keep it on track. And just to let people know, we are going to be doing a galactic history too. It's going to be coming up in just a little bit. So
okay,
with number two, one, two. All right,
okay.
Everyone, take your time. Focus on envelope number two.
Stop shaking it.
I'm not making it harder on them. They're remote, but the shaking won't matter. So inside envelope two, what is in envelope two? You've had the impression of envelope one. Focus. The words that I just said All of those skill sets that I just mentioned is available to each and every one of you. As long as you have DNA in this world, you can do any of these skills that I've described. It's not hard to learn them. The most basic thing to understand is toxicity. Clear your toxicity, you have clarity. And from clarity, you can chart your own course into knowingness. Let your knowingness into this number two. Number two in the flowers. All righty. So if you go down to the comments box for everyone that's listening and remote viewing this show, just like I remote viewed the show before, 10 minutes before the show or 10 minutes after the show is the window of opportunity for those that are going to be here live. For those that are live, we'll have an opportunity of those that get it accurately in 10 words for each description. You will then be a part of a live show at a future date where you will get to drive the conversation just like Natalie and Debbie does. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage people out there to begin to get some of these remote views. And I will, again, repay those people that do it with success with this live shows that are like these. For people to know, we are going to be moving to our live stream account as well as to the screen room with the TriCaster. So we have lots of really, really fun stuff that we've got coming up. So continuing with what we were talking before.
Yeah, you know, and that's why Debbie's got so much to add, because when Debbie does what she does, which is past life regressions or the future of your life regression, how would you say that?
Progression.
What I've noticed with Debbie is that she's actually, when she gets into that space, she can actually see what is around the portal she's created, and she can clear that so that that portal remains clean whilst you're doing what you're doing. And what Andrew, Debbie, and I did before the show is that we focused on the photos and we made sure that we provided portals that were very, very clean and very, very clear, so that on your journey to find out what this remote view was for all the different points, you would have an easier, more malleable space, which was very friendly for you to keep going forth so that you could find and connect with what that remote view was. And I've seen Debbie do this. And Debbie, do you want to describe sometimes what it's like when you're, you know, when you're holding that space for the people that you can help? Because that is another form of their audience, their sentience. This is so much part of your gift that's just so great for this planet.
Well, thank you, Natalie. What I experience when I'm working with people and I'm setting them up into a relaxation, while they're going through the relaxation, they can actually focus on opening up the portal so that they can actually go back in time through that portal or into the future through that portal. But I also hold that portal sacred. And so it's holding space, and so it stays pure. And so when they go back through the time streams, back into a past life or into a future life, these portals, I'm really very well aware of them, and I make sure that I actually throw these portals, I cover them in a gold energy. So to me, I want to keep it as pure as possible, you know, holding that space. I just people feel a lot more protected. I think they go back easier or go forward a lot easier because, you know, I enjoy working with portals.
Well, and that's another thing that perhaps people who are just new to the audience, Debbie has a very special blood type. We talked about in several other shows as well as the history schools, I believe. And she has Rh negative, which means, actually, you know what, you're so good at explaining that with the DNA technology. Do you want to just give a brief description of how that functions and how that works with the blood?
I had been asked about Rh negative for so long. And when I first brought up the concept of what DNA memories are, required people to understand that we have DNA scan students that hold lineage, that hold specific memories of a race, as well as the history of our world. When we run into some of the more advanced scenarios like you're talking about, Rh negative is the most advanced DNA technology. That means anyone who has Rh negative blood is part of a closed circuit that will always have connection to their originals so that they can filter out. So that they become more apt each birth that they're going through to come to their authentic self again, and they have the immortality with Rh negative expression of the closed circuit genetic memory, so only your memories filter through. When we get to the higher understanding that we can make our own closed circuit connection with our family members, we can also make closed circuit portals for specific people not in the DNA lineage, and then begin to share what with them, the infinite source that is that connection. So Rh negative is that ability to bring forth even more of your soul frequency to each birth, and that connection to that closed circuit, it's just your memories with the filters in place, so the memories of your families and ancestors have an order of understanding in which they came.
Yes, sorry, we've got some sage going here, and a little bit of the smoke is coming my way. And that's what's so great about Debbie, though, because when she brings these people to those moments that she's talking to their higher self and asking the questions that that person posed that they wanted to ask their higher self, she's able to keep this closed circuit network and hold a portal for that individual that she's currently connected with in this moment. Mm-hmm. And it's quite the phenomenon. I mean, both mm-hmm. you and I have experienced
right.
this.
And she's doing skills similar to what I'm doing during live shows.
Exactly.
More for that specific resolution without an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Just the light body audience that's in attendance with her at that moment.
That's right. And I remember she took both of us under at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked us, our higher selves, to view the future, and I know you talked about this on the other show, and yes, we're putting that together for you guys, and it's something quite fantastic, and it's something to really look forward to.
Yeah, Debbie,
no doom and gloom here.
Debbie, do you have any impressions about that when you took us to the future?
You know, it was amazing experience for me to hold that space, and then to hear what was unfolding. I just got so excited. But I kept the clarity, and like you said, I've got that skill where I tune in. I thought where you're going and what you need for me to ask next, and you know, the process for me when I'm doing that, it just comes very naturally. And you know, you guys are just amazing. So it was really wonderful.
Yeah, we were all in a really deep connection at that point in time.
Yeah. But it was a little bit difficult at times when you were asked some of the poignant questions of the future, how much interference you had to physically wipe away specific things so that our portals remained clear as we were having behind all of our bodies, all of our light bodies into that specific coordination that we're so truly connected to source, as Andrew said, so that we can have a vocal discussion with our higher self then in this 3D manifest with someone recording it for us. And you hold that. And how, when we were asking about some of the important dates of this year and some other years, how difficult it was at that moment to hold that portal clear.
You know, that was really interesting thing, because I got a sense when I was holding that space and you guys were guiding me through to those areas, I could feel some of the dense energy trying to break through that portal that I was holding there. And so I did. I literally had to hold my hands out and you know, energetically push that back and command it not to be there. And but anyway, it worked out beautifully.
It did.
I saw a question from Adriana pop up. Really good one.
Yeah.
If we remote do a score, is it possible we remote influence the score? No. That score is set in stone via contractual obligation.
I understand where the question is coming from, because it's also said that merely as being the observer, sometimes if you're not an absolute sacred neutral, you can affect what you're observing. So that is a really good question. And do you want to explain why it's just set in stone, because it's already been placed?
Because each thing is a debt and resolution, so
right.
That beings are not in physical war, but they're still in some form of gladiatorial combat
mm-hmm.
that still results in injuries and still requires payment, media, all of those other things. So the football score itself is set in stone because there's a resolution that's coming from each of it. What you may be influencing is the individual player to have a more positive or more negative experience. Does that alter the score of the game? No, it doesn't. Does it alter that player? It means maybe that player might play crappy and another player might play better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if you are really target-focusing that one individual player.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're coming through to look at the final score, if you've watched any type of football game, the score comes up at the end. The two players, the two teams, the two logos of each team, a final score. That's all you need to remote view. You don't actually need to remote view the most valuable player. You don't need to remote view every touchdown, every pass, every fart the player has.
Just the bottom line.
Just the bottom line. Can you go through the fact that 200 million people are going to be watching that event and see something that 200 million other people are going to see in about 2.5 hours from now?
Yeah. Yeah, 2.5 hours from now. So here's a good question. A long time ago, well, it wasn't a long time ago. When was the last world champion football championship soccer? You know, soccer as we know it, English football. There was a being who remote viewed every single match with the exact score all the way to the final. And there are actually several of them, and they did this on TV. So that's like what we're doing is like a mini version of that, because I mean it's been done time and time again. Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is to get people to get the facts of they can jump past the precipice of trust,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sports game. Well, the next layer is if you can do one sports game, it's not about betting on it. The next places that I can take you to remote view are the ones that the entangled observer can greatly learn from. Like, let's say, a volcano.
No, that's interesting.
Okay. How are people going to describe that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are also events in time space, deep in the ancient past. I can anchor myself in time. I'm a no-time being. I can go back and give everyone infinite access to a specific point in space-time, in the forward or in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We just need people that want to step up, regularly be a part of these remote viewing things, so that when we set in stone, well, we know things are going to happen.
We can also, when we've known something has occurred, we can also, and something's coming, like a storm or a tsunami or stuff like that. When we start practicing these types of skill sets, we can actually put our focus and remote view and hold a specific paradigm so that that lessens or doesn't even happen. I know a lot of people out there were doing that with hurricanes that were coming towards it and were really focusing on these hurricanes just dissipating and moving away. And when it kept on being pushed on the propaganda, how those that were focusing on it disappearing, the social consciousness of being it shown how bad it's going to be and the actual eminence of that frequency coming out from the fear of the people strengthened in the hurricane and brought it back, because we can also affect the weather. We can also affect so many things, from being dramatic or being something that turns out to be nothing. We can start to do that now more and more and more. And this is just a good practice for that skill set to play with. It can be so much fun. You're unlimited in what you can do. The key is to be sacred neutral and then to do things that your heart is asking you to do rather than what your mind might depicting for you to do.
All right.
Also, I find not to be attached to your time zone, because like you've got to go into a no-time space when you remote view. Because everything's happening simultaneously across the board. You know, you've got past, present, and future. And so I find that when I go into remote viewing something, I just let you go because there's no time. And I just find that that's really helpful for me to have that proper understanding of that concept. So can you add anything to that, Andrew?
Yes. Viewing as a concept.
And no time. Yeah.
The no time thing. I describe no time as once I'm there, it's no consideration of time. Like you don't think of a clock, you don't think of anything, because you're in such fluidity
in
the information is flowing that when you're done is when you realize you were in no time.
I mean, I think a good example, and I know a lot of people have this experience, is when you're driving And all of a sudden you're driving and then you realize you've driven all this way, but you've just been in that no time moment. That maybe is a really simple explanation of this phenomenon that we call no time.
Or having a conversation with a person that you could have thought was an hour and a half long, and you look at the phone and it's 18 minutes long.
Yeah. Or it's 3 hours long and it just feels like, you know, 20 minutes.
20 minutes,
nothing.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the phenomenon about time, isn't it?
Our perception of time is what constrains us.
Mm-hmm.
When we realize time is fraud time, it says 4:21 p.m. on my time zone, they have a different time than mine. Minute ahead, minute behind, 30 seconds ahead. But heck, the atomic clock is even accurate.
I thought all computers were attached to the atomic clock.
Yeah, but all these computers, individual, they don't always interact with the atomic clock. They all go in and out of date.
Your computer definitely does.
Every computer does that. Everyone's computer does that. Everyone shares that in common.
We've got another good question here. I heard a while ago that remote viewing can be unsafe because something is looking back at you. However, it probably depends on who or what is being remote viewed. I wonder what I think about that. That's a really good question.
Who's looking back? If you were going to go and look at, let's say, the Battle of Thermopylae, yes, there would be something looking back at you because it's a major moment in history, and they're going to be looking to see if you're there to influence or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to some backwater, middle of nowhere, Uzbekistan, is there going to be something looking back? Can it entangle with you? More than likely not. It would perceive you as an orb with no information or sense behind it, just as an orb. In other scenarios, if you're remote viewing a person, is the person aware of it? The answer is yes, at the light body level. Like, I am very aware of the people that are remote viewing right now. Very, very aware. And it's just a matter of keeping in my state of nature to understand that they're intending no harm. Each of them some trying to figure out what is there, instead they're missing and getting my crown shock and bouncing over there. It's fine. Some people are new at the skill. But that's what we want. That's why we put it inside flowers to soften the landing. That it's just an image. That just 10 words to describe what it is.
Yeah, robotic light? No. How can you best explain what staying in sacred neutral is?
It means that you allow polarity to not stick to you for one sleep period. So you could be a day in polarity. As soon as you're done with day, you let go of it. And before you go to sleep, you are back in neutrality. And when you wake up in the morning, you are back in neutrality, and there's nothing that sticks from what you let go.
Oh, so that's where the ancient saying comes that every night they tested to see if these beings went to sleep with the lightest of hearts.
Correct.
And if they didn't, they had to resolve what it was before they could go back into
correct.
The dream time.
Until once again you make it a part of your daily life where you can encounter someone in intense polarity, stay sacred neutral, and if they were to threaten your sovereignty, you can go, no, you cannot threaten my sovereignty. And you can get excited. You can even get defending.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a fine line between defending and vengeful, between ego and response. Is it a fight or flight? Is this an adrenaline response or the true heart response of saying, this is my sovereign territory? Okay? And then putting an energy forth that reaches in and tells that being in its solar plexus to stop being a raging little idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And if they continue, yes, you have every right to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there are thousands of martial arts that have been designed to just let the person that's attacking to use their force against them. That is a belief system that says you don't have to defend yourself or you can only do it that way. If your life is in danger, you do what is instinctually right from the center of your heart. Okay? And if your life is valued and you know that you want your life and whatever else is out there, you can defend yourself in a sovereign, neutral way and saying, this is my reality. And then applying all of your talents, abilities, and skills to prevent your reality from coming to an end.
So basically, willful determination and stating your boundaries that they are sacred and literally like, you know, Gandalf,
that's,
you shall
right,
not pass.
Yes. And if at some point the you shall not pass means you need to swing the staff, that means you swing the staff because you understand that you still live in a matrix that's looking for a specific retribution against you.
With the understanding that the only reason you're swinging that and in that action, that swing is done in sacred neutral saying, you shall not pass.
Exactly.
There is not, you shall die and I will get you. It's almost just that sacred neutral. you, like when you did that stop thing, mm-hmm. is that kind of...
It's pushing to all the energies and light bodies.
Right.
And at some point, people are going to ask the next question, what if the fight occurs? Well, at that point, you are in a matrix entanglement. Every martial arts tries to tell you, don't fight in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
If your mind and heart cannot figure out a way around it that that harms ego, it's harmed egos that create more interaction. We can walk away from any fight. But if you find yourself in that life or death scenario, sacred neutral says protect yourself. Protect your sovereign connection to the earth. That is why you came here. But also know that those choices do have polarity in them.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when we are in an end-life choice, we don't want to end in polarity. We want to end in neutrality so that we can find our ancestors. And that's why we do our best to honor our ancestors, even on the death, so that they're ready when we cross over, even if we are in polarity at that moment.
Mm-hmm. So an ascended master's joke, one to the other, and they're sitting there and they're watching and they're living their lives, and one's a super master adept in 3D, and he's just being crushed by this evil ghoul, and he goes back and it's like, bro, you did a crap job at creating your reality. You shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yep, should have been there in the first place.
And there's something also to that question when staying in sacred neutral. Sometimes when you're focusing on a new skill, and well, actually, when you're in that focus of doing something, sometimes when you are so filled with all of this energy, you can get really happy and excited when you've just manifested something in that moment. But if it is a continuous focus, when you get really happy and excited, and this happens to a lot of my friends, is what happens is you lose the focus. So that's sometimes when we're talking about sacred neutral, there's a difference between the sacred neutral and the actual focus, because sometimes when you actually get something manifest, you're like, oh my God, I did it. And all of a sudden the focus is gone. And what you were beginning into the manifest is just stopped because you've taken your focus to the joy and not the focus on the actual intent of the equation which you're endeavoring to make manifest in this reality. And the other part is when you start to do these things, sometimes your ego gets really, really exalted. And, you know, you've just come and you've just done this great healing and the people are really, really happy and you're like, yeah, you know, eye of the tiger, and you're running up the stairs full of it, and you'll just totally miss your step because that's great mystery bringing you right back. It's like, hello.
Yep. So true.
So those are also some of the fun things, okay, to share, you know, when you're going through the different understandings of the DNA technology suit and all the fun things that can happen on the way.
So the next part now, we want everyone to begin to focus and understand the next part here is putting in your guess for the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, not guess, your remote knowing this. Sorry, a galactic faux pas. So with your knowing this, reach into the future a few hours to see that final score. In 10 words or less, describe the final score. And I have made mine for the final score. And I actually made it 6 weeks ago.
Did you write it down with a date and put it somewhere secret so I can go look at it later and we can just show the audience?
No, the people I bought my car from, they're all the ones that asked what the score of the game
was
going to be.
That's right. Shout out to those guys, yeah.
That was quite humorous, actually, buying a car and people realizing who I was.
He had the whole floor watching through the glass cubicles. And the paperwork takes forever, so there were lots of questions that they were asking, and Andy was just in his element. He just had so much fun. And the amazing thing was is that these were really young people, and the questions they came up with were
really good questions.
Really good. I was like, wow, really? Oh my God,
knowing the consciousness questions, exactly.
It was just wonderful, and it was such a gift, and they were just so open and so ready to, you know, to begin this whole thing. It was just fantastic to watch them go.
Yeah, it's just telling us how well seeded our grounds are.
Yeah.
For people to come to their own co-creative, interactive awakening in themselves.
Yeah. So true.
So So we are going to be ending the show here in just a little bit. We want everyone right now to focus number one.
Well, let's hold both of them up, and then they can focus on.
Hold on. Number one and number two. And then the third one is the final score of the Super Bowl. So focus, everyone. All right. Now, for those of you that are in the future listening to this show, you can go to the Galactic Historian/live page. That is where people are putting in their answers to the remote views. Only those that are live here in the show for 10 minutes before the show started and 10 minutes after the show are participating in this. But for those that want to know that their score is going to, that we're going to announce what it is this coming Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific, we'll have the preliminary results and we will reveal what the two images are, and obviously we're going to know in an hour and a half, 2 hours, what the final score of the Super Bowl is going to be. So I want to thank Natalie and Debbie. I want to thank our producer, Kat, who has been really, really good, and Adriana and Tanach and everyone else that's in the background. Thank you so much.
Namaste, guys.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Good show. Good show.
That was great.
There was a lot of shit coming through for we were holding those up.
Oh, I bet there was. I had to go into the bathroom and cough because all of a sudden my nose started streaming.
Oh, yeah. I just had something was fucking with my eyes. It's like, man, what's wrong with my eye? There's all this smoke, and it's like, where's the smoke coming from? I mean, because my cigarette wasn't really on. It was like, holy shit.
Good stuff, guys. Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, was it a good show? What did the people think? Did they love it?
People, audience, 400 people.
400? Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's great, especially for Super Bowl.
That's right.
Nice.
We're going to get 10 times that amount in the next couple hours.
So, Debbie, how did it feel?
It was great. Yeah, it was good. I'm glad you guys were, sort of holding the main thing. And, did I sound okay?
Oh, you did
amazing. Yeah.
As you get more and more into the conversation aspect, it'll just come more and more natural.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
Listening on the Blog Talk side.
I didn't have a count on that, but maybe Adriana did the
attention. Don't worry about it. I'll go in.
I haven't actually no way of figuring that out.
It's no big deal. I'll go and check the Blog Talk account stuff later.